take your seats. Our reading this evening is from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. I'll just give you a moment to find that. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear.
Thanks, Abby. Do keep the Bible open in front of you if you've got it. The words will be up on the screen as well. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we come to his word this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that you make yourself known. I thank you that through this written word, breathed out by the Spirit, you tell us about your Son and about his good news. And we pray that you give us our hearts ready to hear that this evening. You'd open our eyes to see who Jesus is and what he's done and what that means for us each as we live in this world. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can picture two painters standing in front of a canvas, and one thinks, when I paint a masterpiece, then I will earn the title artist. The other stands there and smiles, I am an artist, so every stroke I paint is art. Many people live like that first painter, trying to tick the boxes, chase the rules, hoping that the actions they take will establish their worth and their position. Luca told us that's kind of how he used to live, based on the things that he did. The Christian faith flips the script around and says your identity comes first. God makes you his child, adopted and adored by your Father in heaven, and then everything you do flows from that new identity. This evening, as we celebrate with Luca and Ellis at this baptism service, they've not come here to try and earn God's acceptance. No, they've confessed God has claimed us. Jesus has died and risen again to save us, to secure our place in God's family. And so the question I want us to ponder this evening is, well, how do you live then as children of God? How do you live as children of God? And let me try and show you that from the Bible, from our reading, from Peter's first century letter that's been put into the Bible for us. And firstly, in those first three verses from verse 13 to 15, let's see that God calls all his children to obey. God calls all his children to obey. And Peter says of his readers in verse 14 that they are obedient children. They're people who, verse 15 says, God has called to be his own. And they've obeyed that call. They've become his children. And then in verse 17, they've called on God to help them. As an artist lives out their identity and makes art, so God's children take up a new way of living. And what is it that God's children do? Well, Peter writes about that in verse 14. He says this, Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. The Bible speaks pretty starkly about the human condition. That we're glorious ruins. We're like Michelangelo's David or the Parthenon in Athens, are no longer what they were meant to be, though still wonders of the world. But humanity's ruin hasn't been caused by the wear and tear of the centuries. No, it's been caused by the selfish and evil desires of our hearts. Now, we might not like to say that about ourselves, although most of us are prepared to say there are things, and even people who in this world who are evil. And yet the Bible gets to the heart of the problem of the human heart, and says it's not just about the outward actions we do, but our attitudes, our motives, our desires. It's not just what we do, it's why we do it that's the problem. And we could clean up the outside and look good and religious. That would be relatively easy. That's not what we're talking about here. Now, having your heart changed is a whole other thing. Left to our own devices, our hearts are turned away from God. We don't go his way. We go against the grain of his design for this world. Peter says we had evil desires. And then we conform to them. We bend towards them. We blend in with them. In the same way that you might move somewhere new and pick up the local accent or turns of phrase or customs. Peter says to his Christian readers, you did do that when you lived in ignorance. And he'd say to Luca and Ellis, there was a time you didn't know any better. You didn't know any different. And now you do. Now you've become children of God. And God calls all his children to obey him rather than their old evil desires. Not at all because how well we do that decides whether we're part of God's family. No, a changed life is the outworking of now belonging in God's family. So what does that look like? Well, resisting what was once normal, it's going to feel like swimming against the current, isn't it? It's going to feel like going uphill or into the wind. It's going to be difficult. More difficult than just going with the current and downhill and with the wind behind us. Times we'll stumble, we'll give in to those old desires because, well, that would be easier. And beforehand, that didn't matter to us. Now it jars. That's a big change in itself, isn't it? And remember, those things that seemed normal once upon a time, they were evil desires then, just as they are now. It's just that there was a time when you didn't know any better. And honestly, that pains those of us who call ourselves Christians, doesn't it? To look back on those things and to think for so long I lived in opposition to God. I'd lived in opposition to the God who I now love. The God who loves me. Well, I can't change the 18 years of my life lived ignoring God, and neither can Ellis or Luca change their past. But we can trust that Jesus died so that all our past, present, and future sin can be forgiven. And the question then is, well, what do you do with the life that you now have? It's the same question for any of us who would say, I'm Christian, as we've heard these guys do this evening. Catch Peter's tone here as he speaks to his readers. He calls for soberness, for alertness in verse 13. That God's word being written down here is like an alarm clock to wake them up, to set their hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. To set hope on Jesus. Knowing that the Christian will still feel the pull of those old desires. And whenever that happens, we need God's word to ring in our hearts. Be alert. I wake up from just going with that muscle memory of doing what's against God. That's going to look different for each of us probably, isn't it? Depending on the different things that we might desire. So let me just try and unpack one example of that. Let's talk about pride. Pride whispers this in our hearts, doesn't it? The world should revolve around me. That each of us can be prone to thinking that way. That we ourselves should be the center of our universe. And yet as God's children, we find that we do now know who should be at the center of everything, and it is not us. It's our Father in heaven. And pride could show up in many different kinds of ways, couldn't it? It could express itself in different ways. It might look like using other people, trampling over them to get yourself ahead. Now, maybe it'll look like chasing a good image, an impression upon other people, acting like the model Christian, just so that everyone thinks you're good. And on the surface, that might look really righteous. It might look good. You might convince yourself or even other people, but underneath, it's just pride because it's all about you. Perhaps it looks the opposite way. Maybe it looks like pretending to be the victim to get attention because then everything will revolve around you. Well, that's just pride too, isn't it? Or maybe it's the kind of double standards that makes excuses for your own mistakes but harshly judges everybody else because you're better than them. Well, it's pride, isn't it? And those four different things are just different faces of the same fake gods, the same worshipping of yourself rather than of God. And that's just one way that the evil desires that Peter talks about here can show up in our lives. It might be something very different in yours. But whatever it is, Peter's call in each of those cases is say no to that. Do not conform to those evil desires anymore. So perhaps that gives us a simple plan for action this week, that when you see something like that coming up out of your heart, and it does come up out of us, doesn't it? Pause, pray in desperation, Father, my Father in heaven, I want you and your ways. I don't want to follow those evil desires anymore. Would you help me to say no to it? And you can pray that, knowing that God is not content to leave you as you are. His lifetime project is to expose the fake gods that we love, to reshape our desires, our hearts after him. That's really humbling, isn't it? Because what that means is that there are sins that you enjoy and fake gods that you love today that you've not even noticed. That a year from now, you might look back on this moment and marvel at the things that God has changed in your life. And you can know this, that God didn't just rescue the person that you knew yourself to be a few months ago or a few years back or many years ago. He didn't just rescue the person that other people thought you were then. Now, God saved the person that he knew you really were, with all of your sins and all of your failings, even the ones you didn't know about. And God is not done with you yet. He's just beginning. The Holy Spirit is at work to transform all God's children because God calls all his children to obey. And having told us a bit about that in verses 13 to 15, Peter pivots then to a more positive way of putting that in verses 15 to 17. That God's children call on a good father and want to be like him. Now, I've worn glasses since I was 11 years old. If I took them off, I wouldn't be able to see you at all. And my first pair of glasses in 1990 were the same design as my dad's. I'm very grateful that he's allowed an old picture of him to appear next to the one of me. We can get rid of that now. But I chose the frames that I did because, like any child, I wanted to be like my dad. And Peter has the same principle in mind here, that God's children want to be like him. Now, look at the way Peter says that in verses 15 to 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. Do you see how that works? It says, as he is, as God is, well, so be like that. And God says, be like that because that's what I'm like. Who is this God who calls us? Who's the God that we call on? Well, verse 17 says, he is a father who judges each person's work impartially. He's just, he's good, he's impartial, he's not moody, he's not playing favorites. No, he's our good father. And in his own words, in verse 16, God says, I am holy. I'm holy. Now, holy doesn't mean what we sometimes imply when we say, oh, that person is holier than thou, aren't they? As if kind of distant, snooty, looking down your nose at other people. No, that's not what holy means. Holy is a word that implies distinction. That our creator is not like his creatures. He's holy. And holy means devotedness too. That God cares in ways that we don't, with a burning, passionate love for his son Jesus. And for the Holy Spirit and for the people that he's made in his image and for the world that he's created. And we probably can't get our heads around what that means. And I said, well, what's that like? And Jesus said in John's gospel, anyone who has seen me has seen my father. So the quick way, the best way we can get hold of to see what God is like is to look at Jesus. Because our Father in heaven is just like Jesus. And like Father, like Son. There's a family likeness to them. God is like Jesus. And yet there's a shocker here. Did you notice in the way that Peter writes it? We get bought in on this. We've already said it negatively that we are no longer to conform to the evil desires we used to have. Okay, maybe we can get some sense of that. But much more, we are to be transformed into God-likeness, to be ever more like him, to develop the family likeness, the family character, that same passionate, other-centered, self-giving love like God's. And Peter tells us that in verse 16 by quoting what God says in his holy law, be holy because I am holy. Now, God tells us a lot about being holy in the law, in the first five books of the Bible. It's not full of lists of arbitrary commands. Now, God's law reveals his heart. And so, for example, in his law, God tells the people that he's rescued to care for widows and orphans and foreigners, for people who have no one to defend them or to provide for them, because that's what God would do. It's his heart, it's what God has done for us. He's cared for us when we were helplessly lost, when we didn't know any better. He's rescued us. And then he invites us to reflect his heart to other people. Now, we can't and we don't save other people like he does, but we can represent God to people in word and in deed. And we see Jesus living that out in burning, self-giving love, that he sought out the lost and the last and the least in this world. But like his Father, he's drawn to helpless sinners just like me and you. What could that look like for us? Perhaps it means noticing the outsider sitting alone, moving towards them. Maybe it means making time to help the elderly neighbour with their groceries or the younger neighbour with their DIY. Offering that word of encouragement to the colleague whose work so often gets overlooked. What's even their name? Can you remember? And those might be very ordinary things, but the point is to reflect what God is like Jesus, the Son of God. And some of that people would look at and say, well, that's good, that's commendable. That's fine, you can be like that, no problem. And yet persist in doing that, and not just in those areas, but in all the other areas that God describes in his words. And it puts us out of step with a world that naturally conforms to the evil desires of the human heart. To self-serving, get yourself ahead, everything else that everyone does. And so it should be no surprise to us that in verse 17, Peter says to his readers that as children of God, as those who are on the inside with God, they're also foreigners here in this world. They're outsiders here. Live out your time here as foreigners in reverent fear, he says. Like people from another place who talk different, have different interests, and yet live here. How do we do that? How do we live as foreigners here? Well, Peter says, do that in reverent fear of God. Not fear of the world, but fear of God. But with our God, that is not trembling terror. That's about taking God's view seriously. Let's try and show you what that means by comparing two different mindsets. Now, for someone faced with the opportunity this week to be holy in this world. And we might think this way. We might say, well, God sees all my failures. I'm so unworthy. I'll do what's right so he doesn't strike me down. Or we might say, well, Father, you know the depths of my heart. You do, and yet you're good and you're fair and I trust you, so I'll pursue what's right. Those are very different, aren't they? There's one that is dreading God, and the other trusts him. And so put that in a situation you might find yourself in. Suppose with colleagues or course mates, they're cheating on the project, inflating the numbers, shortcutting things. And they say, well, no one will know. And you could just follow your evil desires. You could blend in. You could take the win. But Peter says, no, you're a foreigner here. You're God's child here. You're secure in him, so you can be holy. You can pursue what God would do in this situation. You can have integrity. You can choose not to rip others off, because everything impacts someone else, however costly that might be. Not because you're terrified of God, but because you'd rather be in the hands of our good Father. Rather that than at the whim of popular opinion or people's approval. It's to do what Luca and Ellis committed to do earlier on, to follow Jesus no matter what the cost, to keep calling on their good Father, learning to be like him day by day, in their work, with friends, in life choices about money and relationships and so many other things that they might not have had to consider if they weren't following Jesus. Knowing that the God we call on has and does and will make people his children through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that those who become God's children are called to a different way of life, saying no to evil desires, saying yes to being more like God. And in that, of course, we fail. We fall short. We feel the pull of those old desires. And so we keep putting ourselves in the sound of his voice. Even right now, as we listen to what he says in the Bible, so that he'd change our hearts. Change what we love, calling us to be more like him. And Luca and Ellis, in the days, the weeks, the months to come, remember your baptism this evening. Remember this as a visible word that says to you, you got baptized because you'd already died with Christ. You got baptized because you now live with the risen Jesus. And how consistently you work that out in practice doesn't determine whether you are God's child, Now that's already totally secure. But then as an artist paints, so a Christian gets to pursue godliness. So create some art. Be who you now are. It'll be messy, it'll be inconsistent. We always are, but God isn't. Now our God, our good Father is always our Father. And we can turn to Jesus and there'll never be anything as secure in our lives as knowing that God is your Father and you're his child. Can you see the goodness of that? Because that's what Jesus came into this world to get you in on. He came to die the death that you deserve, to die in your place. We sang about that at the beginning of our time together this evening. He rose from the grave so that all your sin could be forgiven. So you'd be given all that he always had, adopted by his Father in heaven, to make us into God's children and then to increasingly make us look like him as we live in this world. The gospel accounts tell us that Jesus' friend Lazarus died. And that deeply moved and full of love, Jesus wept. And then with Lazarus interred in a tomb, Jesus called out to him. Lazarus, come out. And the life-giving word of Jesus called a dead man out of his grave into a new life with Jesus. To come and be a brother of Jesus, an adopted child of God. Called by God and then calling on God day after day, learning to say no to all that's evil. Yes to being like God. And like with Lazarus, Jesus calls each of us away from death and into life. Away from our old life in ignorance of him, away from our evil desires, and into a new life that says yes to holiness and yes to God. Not because we can ever accomplish that by our own efforts. Not certainly ever by the same power that raised Lazarus. It's by Jesus' words. And so before we sing, let's pray to the God who calls us from death to life. First to make us his children and then to teach us how to live for him and like him in his world. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the miracle of your grace. Thank you for sending your Son to save us. We were lost in sin. We were dead. We were without hope. We were ignorant of our situation. And yet you did everything, and then you called us through that message to new life in you, and you call us now. And Father, for all who've been made your children, we ask for your help. Help us to say no to sin. Help us to say yes to your ways, yes to holiness. We can't do that. We need your help. And we want to live as those in this world who live in reverent fear of you, in your hands, as people like you, being holy because you are holy. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him coming into this world to save us. Thank you for that good news. Thank you for the way that you open our eyes to see who he is and what he's done and our need of him. Please be at work in each of us here this evening to do that. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.